Since the Normans arrived in the 12th century, whoever you might end up on a date with was probably somebody who knew someone or a friend of a friend or whatever. And then the apps came along and changed all of that. But have they made dates too disposable and led to a generation seeking a spark instead of leaving space and time for a slow burning to turn into a yearning? Our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook, is on the line now to talk all about it. Rachel, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Africa? How's
I'm
it going?
Great. Not a bother. Would you say that I have overdone that intro somewhat? Or what extent do you think that apps have changed the dating landscape, particularly here?
I do think that apps have changed the dating landscape. Absolutely. You know, I would say, you know, we now know from quite a lot of studies that relationships formed online are more likely to become sexual much faster than relationships where people meet in person. Not that that's inherently a problem, but it's changed things.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of choice. So there's a lot of kind of grass is greener mentality. And then I'm just finding over the last 5 years, people are just absolutely exhausted from the style of relating through meeting over apps. And then, you know, a lot of people have also developed kind of compulsive approaches to swiping for the dopamine hit. And I think a lot of bad behavior is encouraged. However, on the upside, it is a lot easier for particular groups of people to meet, such as queer people, older people, people into certain kinds of kinks and things like that, because you can search out the people who are also interested in those things. So there's good and bad, but definitely changes.
Yeah, for sure. So there was loads of questions that came in from people saying that after a date, the person messaged them that they were on a date with to say it was really nice to meet them, but they just didn't feel a spark. So how common is that?
Oh my, I think it's the I think it's really common. It's probably the main way now that people turn each other down. I think that's become, it's become a bit of an umbrella term for.
Nice to get a text, even, to be honest. It's a lot of cases.
Well, considering the amount of ghosting that goes on,
exactly.
Absolutely, in many ways, I would say most people appreciate at least getting a text to say
text.
Thanks, no thanks, rather than nothing.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like, it's really common that people are now kind of, you say it's the most common way that people are turning each other down. But what do people actually mean when they talk about a spark? Is it like, is it a universal thing, or like it's just kind of inherent or something like that?
Yeah, it's a funny one because it has become this umbrella term to say you're not interested in spending more time with that person, which, you know, I think the spark for it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing for every person. I think for some people, it absolutely straightforwardly means I don't fancy you.
Yeah.
And for other people, it's like, oh, you know, I can see that there's a attraction, but I don't think that we're going to be compatible based on, you know, for what I'm looking for. And for other people, it hasn't even been that thought through. They just didn't feel the kind of butterflies or magnetism that they, you know, expect from relationships or maybe really want. And then there, for other people, it might be that there's something much more specific. They're just not willing to tell the other person, either because they're fearful of, you know, a kind of nasty response if they say it. Or they just don't think it's helpful to share exactly what it is. Maybe that they found the person, you know, nowhere near as kind of funny as they were really hoping to find, or I don't know, could be anything. Tall, wealthy, whatever they might be into.
Exactly. But it's like, it is one of those things then, like, maybe it is just kind of the least offensive way to say you just don't fancy someone, you don't feel it.
Yeah, I think that probably is. And I suppose fancy can be, you know, sort of broad. It might not just be, I didn't feel this immediate sexual attraction. It might be, you're not someone who I want to see again. But I think it can be very confusing. You know, I find certainly men more than women, I hear it now. I don't know if that's particularly because it's more women who are saying to men that they don't feel a spark.
Yeah.
But I've certainly heard a lot more men express confusion over the fact that someone they went on a date with has said that they don't feel a spark. And I think it is often as well because, you know, for some people, they feel fearful of being more honest about what it was that they maybe found the person rude or something else.
Yeah, for sure. There's a thing that I was reading during the week. It was on Bustle in 2019, and it was about spark chasers versus slow burners. So what's that about?
Yeah. Okay. So some relationship psychologists and experts see that people are divided into two groups. Now, that's not my favorite way to always create a binary of like black and white, this or that. Yeah. But I do think it can be kind of useful to kind of see yourself as being more broadly wanting to feel really kind of butterflies and a magnetic pull very early on in dating. Mm. Or you might be someone who kind of takes your time getting to know someone and accepts that it'll probably take a bit more time to develop. It could be, you know, certain types of attraction, learning whether you have like values in common and are going to be compatible. So it's basically about, you know, the speed at which you're expecting to feel kind of very attracted and bonded to another person.
As you say, like dividing people into two completely separate groups isn't like ideal, but for the purposes of this, are some of the traits then of a dater who would be termed a spark chaser, somebody who's looking for that immediate spark?
Yeah. Okay, so I'd say they're often younger, often have had less relationship experience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes tend to be more extroverted, but not always. I'd say that they tend to get bored more easily and so have a short attention span. And they might be, you know, kind of less mature in their outlook and knowledge of relationships. Another one that's possible is that they're emotionally unavailable, and, you know, that it's kind of like they're focusing on this spark, but it's kind of this elusive thing that they can never quite catch or hold on to anyway. And then there's also, you know, some people who are just at a time in their lives where they really want excitement and adventure and that there isn't anything kind of wrong with that.
Yeah.
But that they are kind of chasing feeling that kind of you know, oxytocin and dopamine rush of being around someone. So that's, I'd say, some of the traits of those spark chasers.
Okay, I want to talk to you more about that. We're going to take a really quick track here. We're going to do a bit of Dua Lipa and Levitating. We're going to be back with Rachel Cook talking about spark chasers and slow burners straight after this. Now, Rachel Cook joins us, our sex and relationship therapist. We're talking about spark chasers and long burners or slow burners. We were talking, Rachel, just before the track, about spark chasers and the traits of, you know, those daters who are chasing a spark. What about the other side of the coin? What about the slow burner? How would you explain somebody more suited to a slow burn?
Yeah, so I think probably, you know, in some ways it's a bit more realistic, you know, certainly over time, depending on what you're looking for in relationships, to expect that, you know, it's just going to take time to work out with someone that you meet, whether you have enough in common and feel, you know, an attraction that isn't just based on the fact that you're kind of like spiking each other's kind of wounds and, you know, are both sort of unavailable, which makes you very kind of drawn to each other, but not actually compatible. You know, I think long burners often have a bit more experience with relationships in that way. So they've just gotten used to the fact that, you know, often you don't feel that immediate thing, or that the immediate thing that you feel, that attraction, doesn't actually say anything about your compatibility. I would say those long burners and slow burners have often been to therapy as well. They might have, some ways. They've often got a bit more self-awareness and, you know, in some ways potentially have higher self-esteem because they know themselves better and sort of know what they're looking for, which again is not to divide this purely into, you know, saying that long burners are better and spark chasers are kind of really immature and worse, because they both have different sort of upsides and downsides depending on where you are in your life.
That's true. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you feel like you could be, depending on what's going on in your life, feel it could be a spark chaser or a long burner, depending on like the time of day, or do you know what I mean? Or what's going on in your life at the moment.
Yeah, totally. I think that's really common as well, that, you know, again, with this kind of dividing yourself into one of two things, I think it's more about sort of checking in with yourself about where you're at. You know, if you're finding that you have a strong pattern that leads you to feel very unsatisfied, then that's probably something to look at. But that, you know, most people enjoy feeling a spark. It's not like there's anything wrong with wanting to feel, you know, highly kind of desiring of someone else and feel really desired by them, and to just kind of feel that there's kind of a bit of, you know, might be sort of escapism or adventure or whatever in that. But that, you know, if that's causing you problems, then it's an issue. If it's not, it's not.
Say if you're a long burner who is dating a spark chaser, what are the odds that they'll feel a spark with somebody else and leave you hanging?
Yeah, the odds are probably high, but again, depends on a lot of things. You know, how are you defining that person as a spark chaser? Because, you know, just because they're someone who seems like they, you know, maybe evaluate dates that they go on very kind of quickly, or, you know, that they seem quite extroverted, or maybe it's that they talk a lot about how much they feel attracted to you who they're dating or stuff like that. You know, I would say still be wary of just kind of deeming someone a spark chaser, because that might not be the whole story at all. It might just be that they're very enthusiastic about you. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's how they are with everyone. So, you know, I would say get your information there, talk to the person about what they're looking for. And again, you know, what you're really looking for in most relationships is do the words that someone's saying, do they match their actions? Because someone can say X, Y, or Z till the cows come home.
Sure.
But if they're not following through, then, you know, you have to go with that.
Tell me about the difference, because we were talking about that here. What's the difference between a slow burner and somebody who just settles for whatever comes their way? It depends basically on how desperate you are. Do you know what I mean? Like, for a relationship, is there a difference?
Yeah, so I would say the difference there is probably about levels of self-esteem and self-awareness.
Fair.
Is, again, going back to, not that you have to go to therapy to have self-esteem or self-awareness, but it often helps, you know, that people who are just kind of going, you know, that are just really just want to be in a relationship no matter what and will go out with anyone.
Sure.
Usually they're not very aware of what it is that they're actually looking for, what it is that they're offering. They don't probably have very good self-esteem. And so it's just a bit of a shot in the dark. Whereas for most slow burners or long burners, you know, who have a bit more kind of experience and awareness, it's absolutely not to do with taking whoever comes your way. It's about knowing yourself better and being able to, you know, kind of articulate that, talk about that, and also know what to look for in kind of dating profiles or meeting someone, you know, in getting to know them. Maybe you build a friendship first, but that you have some idea of that person's kind of qualities and flaws and, you know, values, as I keep coming back to, that will work for you in something longer term, if you want something longer term, which you may not.
Sure. The say you're somebody, right, who has felt the spark or whatever, and you're kind of struggling to get a second or a third date with somebody that you're interested in. Would you have like tips for that, I guess, or like advice for people who are kind of struggling to get that second or third date?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, it's an interesting one, because I think you can ask for feedback, you know, if what happens is regularly you're only getting one date and then the person says they don't feel a spark. You know, or, then I would say, you know, you can ask the person for feedback. They may not give it, especially if, you know, it's a man dating women, because, you know, often I find women just feel more fearful of telling men that what they didn't like about them, because so often men respond with very bruised egos and can be very aggressive. And it's not that women can't have, you know, bruised egos and be aggressive, but you
want to avoid the nastiness if you can.
You do.
Like, yeah.
Well, and also just in terms of the power dynamic, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit, it's overall scarier for,
you know, a
man to be aggressive towards a woman than the other way around, in certain situations anyway. Mm. So I would say ask for some feedback, but accept that the person might not give it to you. Check in with friends, you know, obviously you don't have to be saying, can you give me a list of all my terrible points?
But like, give me my flaws. Yeah.
Tell me them all.
Yeah.
What makes me a rotten person today? But like, it can be helpful to kind of go, look, I'm noticing a pattern here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of am going to swallow my pride a bit. And I'd really appreciate if you would, you know, gently but honestly tell me, you know, a couple of things, one or two things that you think I could potentially work on. Mm. And the person might be able to say, yeah, you know, I think this might be about, you know, how many questions you're asking the person, like that, you know, I imagine that you're probably not, you know, maybe being particularly engaged, or you're not divulging much about yourself, so the person doesn't get to know anything of you or whatever it might be. Another thing you could do is imagine that you're dating yourself. Not because we need to be interested in someone who is very like ourselves,
yeah,
but, you know, just trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes, maybe.
What it might be like to date you. Yeah,
so you can kind of go, you know, do I come across as really kind of guarded and defensive? Do I come across as trying really hard? Do I kind of take over the space? Do I maybe not really give much of input of myself? You know, and those things might give you some pointers to work on to make you, you know, it's not necessarily a more, you know, dateable person as if there's some kind of universally dateable person, but it might give you some ideas as to what is making it more difficult to get those second or third dates.
That's really interesting. Like, finally then, before I let you go,
yeah,
if you that we were saying at the beginning that, like, oh, I just didn't feel the spark is kind of maybe has become maybe a polite way of saying, look, I didn't fancy it and I don't, you know. What would you say are some other ways to let somebody down gently if you just actually don't feel the spark?
Yeah, okay. So I'd say you could say something like, it was lovely to meet you and I've realized that I'm not interested in pursuing a romantic or sexual connection. Mm-hmm. Or you can choose to be more honest and you might actually check in with that person first. You might say, hey, you know, it was good to meet you. You know, this isn't quite what I was looking for. If you'd like more feedback, let me know.
Yeah.
If you're willing to offer that. Now, if the person responds, you know, in a way that you find sort of really kind of rude or aggressive, then obviously you don't have to continue with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think everybody could do with being, you know, very gentle also around this, that you don't have to be saying, well, you weren't funny, you weren't tall enough for me, you're
for
not good looking enough. That's obviously not helpful.
Yeah.
But you might, you know, if you clearly feel that you, you know, just didn't feel that attraction with someone and it's purely based on, you know, the fact that we all have kind of a sense around, you know, the combination of someone's personality and looks as to whether they appeal to us, then you might share that.
Rachel, you're a divil, as always. Thanks so much for that. We'll chat to you again soon. Thanks a million, Rachel. Rachel Cook is a psychotherapist. She's a mental health consultant who's on Instagram. She's at Rachel Jane Cook. Cook with an E. And if you have any topics that you'd like covered, we'd love to hear from you. Jen at RTE.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.